Now, it's the Mike Calter Show.
It's the Mike Calter Show, 807 on 1025 The Bone, and one of our... I would say you're probably one of our oldest friends of the show. Frank Caliendo is here with us.
I thought you were going to say favorites.
No, seriously, you're definitely one of our favorites. But I mean, somebody that's been consistently coming on this show over the years.
This is one of the shows. I hate to cut you off on your
own
show.
No.
This is one of the shows that I would come in for. Well, I did. I came in early for the show. Not just because I want to sell the Friday late tickets, too.
That's a big part of it.
But... The you're one of the shows you can come in maybe five shows in the entire country, where you can just come hang out, do your stuff, sell tickets, whatever you need to do. But I would just come in, even if I sold out, I would come in and do the show.
Not only that, but here's what you get. You get extra points, too. You put an ISDN line in your house before nobody had Zoom at the time and all that, and you were doing... crystal clear connections from your house.
Right now, I have the Comrex, which is how everybody connects to stations.
You know what the Comrex means to me? It's a piece of equipment that I bring with me on the road when I say I'm going to New York this week, but I'm going to do the show from my hotel room, and I just don't do it.
His Comrex has some nice vacations.
I mean, it never works. We went away one time just to the beach in Sarasota for a week, and I said, but I'll do the show. Because I rented like a little cottage, I'm like, I'll dial in and do it from there with you guys. First hour, bad connections, and I'm like, I just quit for the week right away. It just stinks. But I remember back in the day, we'd connect with you on the ISDN line, and it was crystal clear. It was perfect. And I hate doing phoners or any of that stuff, but that was different. That felt like you were here.
Yeah, there was the only difference is you don't get the eye contact. And when I do that with people now, I'll zoom the video. And then do still the Comrex, because that does sound like you're in the studio.
You care way more than most people.
I do voices, too.
Yeah,
so, and sometimes the phone can actually hide it and make a voice better, because it does that. It scrambles it just enough to, what does that person actually sound like on the phone? And you wouldn't know, so your brain gets tricked a little bit.
But that's true.
But there is that element of the clear sound. And sounding like, I think people... when you sound like you're in studio, and I am in studio, right? When you're in studio, people feel you're local, and if you're trying to, you know, sell something or whatever, it works better, I think.
It has been a little while since I saw you, but you look so skinny. You look great.
Is skinny the word? Just not as fat.
No, skinny. I would say
really?
You look skinny now. Yeah.
Oh, I'll take that. My face is still, I still can't get my face thinner.
You're never going to lose. Your neck, it's not your face, it's your neck.
It's my
neck. Your neck is skinny. Your chubby cheeks, you're just going to have
well, there's
the
still
of your
that.
Life.
It's fun. It's it, when you see it on video, though, too, it's like it all mashes up into like a bulldog kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I look fatter on screen than I do. And I'm like, I worked this hard to lose all this weight.
Yes.
And I'm still like, I'm 5'6". People think I'm going to be 6'3".
Right, when I meet them.
So then they meet me, they're already disappointed. And then they're like
tiny and skinny.
Yeah.
Do you know the Yankee pitcher David Wells used to play for the Yankees?
Yeah.
So he's a good friend of mine. And he always used to get a hard time for being a fat guy. I've seen Wells almost 90% naked, and he's not fat at all. He wore a big loose uniform, and
he was a big
guy, and he liked to have a size like two sizes big on his uniform. So he got a reputation for being a fat guy, but he's not fat.
I would have thought he was fatter.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, you still playing table tennis?
Yeah, yeah.
How are we ranked? How are we doing?
Same. I don't play in any tournaments.
No,
because I hate being beat by 15, 13, 12-year-old girls. I mean, I just get destroyed.
Yeah.
And then their dad wants to take a picture with me because the dad heard who I was. They don't even know who I am.
Right.
And
do you find that's a good life for you? Because you seem like very like normal guy.
I think I'm fairly
normal. You've done a lot of famous stuff, but you're still pretty normal.
I appreciate that. I don't know. I think you live your life pretty normally, don't you? I mean, you take advantage of certain things.
Yeah.
I take advantage of things when I can.
Yes.
But I try not to push it. But at the same time, I'm known just enough where people will give me stuff.
Yeah.
Like you it's always a key. I had a friend who played in the minor leagues years ago. I used to work in indoor baseball, softball, batting cage. And he played in the minor leagues. And people would just give him stuff because he played in the minor leagues. And that was like my introduction to that. Like if you have any level of fame, people want to be a little piece of that.
Yes.
Even though it was a double A minor league player.
Still, you just,
they're like, that's better than most.
People
want a little piece of that. So
I carry the guilt of when people give me stuff. I feel like this is not going to pay off for you.
I know. I tell them I'm not going to give you anything.
I feel like people are like, here's my shirt. I'm like, first of all, that shirt's not going to fit me. Second of all, I don't even like it, but I'll take it. You know?
Yeah, it ends up at Goodwill or something like that a lot of the time.
I feel terrible.
Everybody wants to give me gear. I got gear for you. Maybe I'll offer them a Morgan Freeman voicemail or something. And that's when they realize they just called Mike Kelter's house. You know, those kind of things.
We still battle with our Morgan Freemans trying to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So every once in a while, I'll watch Shawshank and I'll be like, and it was my friend. And my wife, and I go, listen, come here. I got it. And I was wondering, and she's like, ooh, Forrest Gump, you nailed it.
It is so. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Have you worked on anything? I'm sure you have, but what new that you do?
Yeah, there's always stuff that I've been.
I mean, I love your Instagram videos. The videos you do where you say a line as all the different characters.
You really like that?
I love those.
See, that's the interesting thing. I don't know if. I can never tell because I don't really like anything I do. So I can never tell if it's going to hit or not going to hit.
Here, can I tell you what gets me is that all your impressions are good. So you'll have Robert Downey Jr. and Morgan Freeman. You'll go, and then when you start getting obscure and you go, and you do Joe Rogan and you're like, Jamie, pull that up.
Wow, Jamie. Oh my God. That's effing nuts. That's nuts. Jamie, what the F is that?
That makes me laugh so hard because it's just so funny to just out of nowhere.
And it's always because there's only certain things I can say because I don't work on them a ton unless I know what I want to do with them. But it's those they're kind of instructional ones. Those are the ones that people seem to like where it's talking about using your throat differently. The biggest one, I think, is the one where I take the Kermit the Frog. Hi, hello, Kermit the Frog here. So that's that nasal kind of voice. And then there's the Fozzie Bear, which is the throat. Waka, waka, waka. Yeah. And then if you take Fozzie Bear and you bring it down a little bit, or if you take Kermit the Frog and you bring it down a little bit, it becomes John C. Reilly. Did you touch my drum set?
That's so funny.
And then if you put some air in it, becomes Mark Ruffalo. I see this as an absolute win. That kind of thing right there.
That's why I love when you do all the I see, and I don't know, your videos are done very well. You and your daughter were great too.
I would like to get her to do more. She wants to be more behind the scenes.
But she's funny. She's reluctant to do some of the stuff, and
she's
funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
She's, when we were doing the Grudens,
the Grudens were great.
I tell you what, man. Yeah.
Dude, that was good stuff, man. This is Frank Caliendo, by the way. If you just joined, you can watch it, follow it on Instagram. See all his videos. I think they're awesome. This is a weird coincidence. That this is like the third time that you've come here, where this weekend I'm going to Disney, where you are the one that elevated my Disney cost from $400 to $4,000.
But it's a much better experience.
It's a much better experience. I'm actually not doing it this time, but it's Frank was the first person to turn me on to using the guide at Disney. And Loomis was your guy.
Sam, yeah.
And he has been, we used him twice before, and he's been great. But you could see a whole, we went to the Disney Toy Story area the week that it opened, and lines were like 2 hours for each ride, and we saw the whole thing in 24 minutes. It was fantastic.
Yeah, we used to do it, but they changed the price structure of it over the years.
It's insane.
It used to be super, super cheap.
It was affordable.
Yeah.
It was never cheap, but it was like, I could spend $2,000 on
it. It was probably closer to what it actually costs now to regularly go. But back then, the regular ticket prices weren't as high.
Right.
I mean, but that experience, the amount you could get done in a day was worth it as a parent.
Yes.
But we'd be running from ride to ride.
Right.
Like Sam would he'd we got to get there. We got to get all this stuff in, because he was trying to make it economical.
Yeah. He would, and you would leave one park and drive to the other park.
In the back
lot. I was telling them the other day, we got out of the car first on arrival, and there's just people giving us chips and water when we got on. Like, we've already won. We've got snacks now, and we've got food. This is, we've already beaten Disney.
Yeah,
we're going there. I have not been to the Star Wars section of Disney yet, so we're going to look at that this
weekend. Oh, okay.
And I find now with an 18-year-old son and an 11-year-old daughter, I'm the only one interested in the Star Wars land.
Yeah, that the Disney's interesting. I feel like Disney is that for the little kids and parents. And then as they get a little bit older, teens, tweens to teens,
yeah,
then it becomes the Universal type of deal. There, that's, and then as you get older, it, and you're a parent, it's that nostalgic Disney thing again.
We've done this. We haven't done this since we were little.
Just to go back and have those memories of your kids liking you. Those are the best.
When they needed you.
Yeah, really, my wife could tell them what to do and they would pay attention.
Yes. Although I will tell you, Gio and I have the same age son graduated high school this year. And I was saying this on the air the other day. My son and I still, I talk to him, text me every night before I go to bed, good night, or I'll talk to him and he'll text me. Like, we have a great relationship.
My son and I do too.
Yeah.
It's a different relationship.
He's the one I thought I would lose.
Yeah. I almost at a point where I want to push my son out a little bit more. But then at the same time, I go, I don't want to lose this because I don't have that with my dad.
Yeah.
My dad, totally different kind of relationship. So I love the relationship I have with my son, but sometimes I'm like, you need to be out on your own a little bit.
What is your dad like? Stiff guy?
No, just my dad shows up to shows wearing a Frank Caliendo t-shirt, telling everybody he's my dad.
Oh, that's kind of...
Yeah, and doing his Donald Duck voice. Right.
Where do you think he gets it from?
Yeah, 100%. He signs autographs for people, and there's a charm to it when it's only once, you know? But when he comes to four shows in a weekend, the club in Milwaukee is literally a mile away from the house I grew up in.
Okay.
He will be there all the shows, signing things for people.
Oh, that's funny.
Selling merch for himself, I think. Frank's dad merch.
He needs to make his own shirts.
Yeah. I mean, he takes it very seriously. Yeah. Almost as seriously as he takes his softball.
Did he know, when did you start doing voices? Comedy first or voices first?
I went to school for broadcast journalism.
Right.
And at UW
Milwaukee. Which, as we all know, is a garbage degree.
Yeah, well, I just didn't know what to do.
Right.
So I did that, and then I tried some stand-up, but it was really working the voices in. It was different. When I would watch people do impressions on TV or whatever, it was always this horrific setup. There was no writing involved.
Right.
So what I tried to do is take what was hot at the time, basically, the observational type of comedy, and turn that into an impression bit. So my bit would be Al Pacino yells for no reason. So take that truth, and now somebody should cast him as a librarian, just because that's what they would do. So he's just yelling, where's the B section? That type of thing. So it's like, take the reality. Or Pacino, my take on him was always, as an actor, they teach you to be curious and amazed by stuff. You don't know what's coming, so you have to pretend. That's the pretending part. Well, Pacino would take that to another level where somebody turned on a light switch.
Wait a second. You flip a switch over there and a light goes on over there. This is sorcery.
So it was that, and then it would call back to the yelling in it. So there was writing involved.
Right.
And that was my real take on it. So that's how I started doing. My first impressions on stage were old school hacky, like a Jack Nicholson. I remember going, this is going to be fun. Right. That
the
kind
ones
of
everybody
thing.
Does.
Yeah. It was a Reverend Jim from Taxi. Boss, but I also added the Tony Danza and Latka Grabitz. Thank you very much. So I thought, I'm like, at least there's some innovation. And Robin Williams was a big one that I would just, oh my God, who knew? And people are like, that's the best impression I've ever seen.
When somebody does a bunch of impressions, you can kind of hear the derivative in each one. You don't have that. Each one is so...
Well, some of it, I think I still hear some of it. And when they're newer, I've just done some of those for 20 years, 30 years. And after you do it for a while, you eventually get your voice out of it if you want to. The odd thing is people will hear other voices in my voice. So people will hear me say something. They're like, are you being Paul Giamatti right now? Like, I don't believe I sound anything like it. Wait a second. Is this Paul Giamatti or Heath Ledger's joke?
Who do you walk around the house doing? Like, I know when I get stuck with something, I can't drive my wife nuts.
I don't know if there's anything anymore. If it's new, that would be when they're... The last one I could think of was probably the Robert Downey Jr. because you're just always going to belch out a line, that type of thing. I wasn't even trying to do it there. That was going to be a Seth Rogen. I didn't even know I did it. You know, so those, when they just pop in, but that's kind of what my act has become too, is just that, you know, if I hear something starting, I go with it.
Right.
But as far as walking around as people, I don't think I really...
I drive my wife insane, not with impressions, but just things from the show and all that. Just walk. I saw a Saturday Night Live skit with, it was very funny. It was with the women, one of them, the one with the freckles that came back. Anyway, they were singing, ABBA sings.
Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph, yeah. ABBA sings Christmas songs. And basically they took Christmas songs, just sung them two ABBA songs.
Right.
But they had a... Frosty Tita was there, Frosty the Snowman, and they were like, Frosty Tita, ta-ta-tita-ta-ta. And I, for 2 weeks, would walk around the house going, ta-ta-ta. And my wife's like, stop. I get into one of those things. So I'd imagine if I was you, I'd just be walking around going, what's for dinner? It just stuck in your
Somebody
brain.
Pass the butter!
Yeah, I was telling them earlier, I go, when we take a two-week break at Christmas time, after like the fourth day, she's like, please, go back to work. Go talk to somebody else. I'm doing the show constantly and walking around my living room. Frank Caliendo is here with us. Frank is going to be at Sidesplitters Friday, 7:30 and 9:30, and Saturday, 7 and 9:30. You want to make reservations because this is shows that sell out. You can go to sidesplitterscomedy.com and pick your seats and do all that, or give them a call, 960-1197. If I was not going out of town, I would be coming to their shows. I've seen you several times before. I love
you. You're one of the first radio guys I remember coming out to see me at a club.
Yeah.
And I remember you just sitting down in the front. You came with your brother.
Yeah, dude. There's something about you that is very savant. You remember, I said to you, oh, last time you were here, I came to see you. And you go, yeah, I think you were with your brother, and you were sitting on the right in the front table. Yeah, like, you knew exactly
where I remember. I have it. Like, there are little things in my memory that are etched in there, and that's one of them.
That's,
I remember
so
looking over and seeing you there.
Yeah. I really do make an effort to go out if I really like a comic to see it. Just sometimes when 8 o'clock rolls around, I'm already exhausted. But,
yeah.
You know, it's definitely a fun time, because at the end of it, you can't even remember how many people were at that show. You're like, John Madden was there and John Gruden was there. And it's like, it's hilarious. Will you see the Grudens while you're here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. John's doing something today. He's coming to a show.
We love Coach Gruden.
I'll tell you what, man. It's a good time. I love watching Frank, man. He does an impersonation of me, man. That's a pretty good one right there, man. You ever see his daughter do that? It's pretty good, man. I'm going to go to the office. I'm going to go, like, you know, Fired Football Coaches Association office. I'll be in there this weekend in that strip mall. Tell you what, man, what are we doing over here? You ever see John do those cameos? He does cameos.
Oh, no, is he doing
like
cameos?
He does them for people. Yeah. I mean, it's so I was just watching a little Walter Payton here, and you know, Jimmy gave me a call and said it was your birthday, man. Just like Walter Payton busting through the line, you're busting through the 50-year-old mark, man. It's going to be pretty good here.
Those are hard to do when you have to come up with...
I don't like to do that. He's like, you got to do cameo, man. You should be on there. Yeah. You can make some money. I'm like, you don't need any money. But I don't know. People want me to perform on those.
Yes.
They want him to be him. They would want you to be you. They want me to be somebody else.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
And that's when he realized he was just getting quarters put in the jukebox.
Which, if it was enough money, I think I would probably whore it out. But then I feel bad.
You can set your price.
I know you can. And then, but that's the thing is, I did it for a little bit. Ari Spears got me. He's like, Frank, yo, Frank, you got to do Cameo. Do. I was like, I'll try. I got, and then corporations were trying to get me to do stuff.
Well, that's, yeah.
And I was like, well, no. And then that's undercutting me. This is supposed to be for fans. And right. Then the corporations are like, why would you do what? So I was like, I just got to get off of it for now.
Yeah, it gets a little hectic. I keep my prices like $20 and I do it for, you know, like if a listener is a big fan of the show or something and it's their birthday, oh, we'd love to do it. We try to all do them together, you know?
I feel like I should. I mean, there's a piece of me that feels like I should, but at the same time, then I feel like I'm not giving them what they want. I record 30 different ones to get the one that's decent.
Right, you care about what you're
doing. Right, I care. Yeah, and I've seen people who do it, like, they just throw them out there, and I'm like, I can't do that. Like the ums and ahs and you know.
And you're reading right off. Bobby said to say happy, but no. But you want to give it. You want your own.
And I don't feel like I can do that without putting a lot of time into it. And by the time I put a lot of time into it, I feel like it just wasn't worth the energy for me.
You need minions. But, like I have minions. I have Spanish. I have Joe. And for Valentine's Day, Spanish will dress up as a Cupid and come in and shoot arrows at you on the Cameo. That's where it gets really good.
That's
you need to get some.
After
minions.
He calls me Mr. Caliendo awkwardly six times,
and hugs
Mr.
You,
Caliendo
tells you he loves you.
No, nothing. None of that.
You'll get it.
I know. Yeah. On the way out,
it's weird because he used to be cute when he was a little boy, and now he's like 37 years old, and it's just kind of weird. Yeah. Frank walked in, and I looked at Frank, and I said to myself, wow, he looks great. He looks really skinny. I look at him. I go, you look nice.
Yeah.
Awkward nice. Thing I've ever said to another.
I would not have pointed it out till you said you meant to say you look skinny. And I would not. I guess I did feel it was a little weird. I didn't know what you meant by it, but I was just going to let it go and move on.
Yeah. No,
I thought it was, maybe the show had changed. No. Maybe there was a different show. Maybe the show is going through transition.
Listen, you want to hear something funny? Our old program director, we used to call him, his name is Michael Sharkey, we used to call him Shark, and Galvin used to make up a character called Shark Zen PD, because he's like real hippie, and he's real, hey guys, you know,
right.
Him and Spanish do a show on the weekends now, that what's it really called?
It's called Get Real, I think.
Let's Get Real.
Let's Get Real, and it's about man's feelings, and men's no. feelings, and we call it Sad Weirdos. If I had your talents, I would call Sad Weirdos every weekend as a different dying person or the different something. Just stir it up with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you, I'm sure you have over the years, I think it was Craig Gass who told me, because Craig Gass's Al Pacino is really good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's great.
And I said, what's the, like, I would just sit around, I'm 53 years old, I would still sit around and make prank phone calls doing it just because it's so good. I know you are probably way past that, but to me, I'm just a big baby. But what I would also want to see, like, how far that I could, like, I'd call a movie studio and be like, it's me, Al, give me, you know.
I got scared once because I did one of those as Madden 30 years ago.
Right.
I called a news outlet. And it was like, I'm quitting. I'm done. And they're like, what? Yeah. They're like, is this John Madden? I'm like, yeah, I've had it. Al Michaels is driving me crazy. And they're like, have you been drinking? No, I haven't been drinking. They go, can we put you on the air? I was like, yeah, why wouldn't you put me on the air? I'm always on the air. And they went to go, like, and I was like, oh. And then I was, I told the story. I'm trying to think, because there were two. I might be mixing up two things. There was another time where I did a Madden calling. That I am mixing up two things. So there, after I did a Madden calling. What's the word? Bordello?
Is that like a whorehouse?
Yeah. I can say it. And I was like, you got bus parking?
I mean, I got a pretty big bus, and can we park the bus? Bus might be in there, too. But can we park the bus next to, is it a shack? Is it kind of like a love shack kind of thing? And they recorded the call and played it, and I got calls from PR people like, that's not good.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got scared early on. With great power comes great responsibility.
You have more to live for, I think. Like, I would just be doing it willy-nilly.
Yeah, I always worry about what's going to, like, I have kids and put them through college and all that. Right. I always worry about all that. I would do a lot. I got a friend, John Holmberg. I don't know if you know him, radio guy.
I know the name, yeah.
He's fantastic. He's like you, where you can just sit and talk. And hang out, and you got a great audience, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But he has no kids.
Yeah.
And he's like, when I watch him and listen to him, I'm like, that's what I would be like if I didn't have to worry about my kids growing up.
Yes. Yeah.
I would totally go off the rails and say things and do different things. But I've got a whole my. You ever hear Kevin Hart talk about like he's got that?
I got corporations. You know,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
you know, like, I can only with DraftKings. That's all I can do.
Yeah, you don't want to lose. Anything.
But you don't want to. You get all that. Well, that's my family for me. And if they go off the rail, like I see all these people doing these Trump things way over the top.
Yeah,
and talking about things. It's great in newsworthy, but as soon as you're known a little bit more. They can come after you. You know, so I do very simple things, quiet things, do the quiet things and say the things simply. But, you know, like the other day,
so
I mean, all these different things. I'm like, if I do that, that could pull some major. I could lose corporate shows that I'm paying for my family.
Yeah, yeah,
that's like, I do. People are like, you're a sellout. I'm like, absolutely.
Right.
I have no problem with that at this point.
Right. The Trump is great. I love when you do that.
I try to do that quiet Trump. The one where I'm very, I thought I watched in the Republican National Convention, which was funny because of a joke that I used to do is like someday Donald Trump is and I take a middle of the road kind of thing.
Sure.
I make fun of everybody. To me, it's like, I'm making fun of everybody. If you're voting because of something I said, bad advice.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to me. I probably live a different life than you anyways.
Right.
But a joke used to be Vice President Hogan.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Like that. And then he's there. And I like the fantasy reality kind of.
Isn't that so weird?
World's colliding, Jerry. World's colliding. So it was like that great kind of moment. But that beginning of that Republican convention, or he's talking, and I'll never talk about it again.
Yeah.
I'll never say it again. And then he starts to do, like, he had me there. I'm like, this is a new Trump. This is a great new Trump.
Yeah.
And then he starts doing, he go into old school Trump stuff.
Yep.
And even the further right commentators have said the same kind of thing, so don't get on me about this. Yeah. But he started doing that thing. He said, and Biden. I'm not going to say his name. Biden. Yeah. I'm only going to say it once. Yeah. Biden. He said it three times in a row. It was like right out of a sitcom.
It was hilarious.
Oh.
There is no, political-wise on this show, you cannot, no matter what I say, whoever is listening is hearing what they want to hear.
Right. There's two. Yeah.
I said the other day, I said, I am voting right now out of the two candidates. I am voting for Trump. I'm telling you right now before I say this. And I said, but I don't believe Trump was hit by a bullet.
You don't?
Well, maybe now I do.
When I had turned my head, my head. I was hit very squarely in the lobe, the upper lobe. It's a difficult place to hit. And I brought the lady up. She put the chart on the screen, and that chart saved me. That usually pies kill you, but this pie chart saved me.
I didn't in the beginning. I watched it when it happened a bunch of times. I watched him take it away. I have guns. I shoot. I just feel like if that bullet would have hit him in the ear, it would have blown some side of his head off at all. I mean, the idea that if it was a bullet, it went through at the exact angle where it didn't clip his head is so hard for me to believe. And I just thought maybe he was hit by getting shot at is still awful.
Still getting shot at. Yeah.
And getting hit by an explosive shrapnel of something that hit you, whether it be a teleprompter or part of the lectern or something, it was still a big deal. But right away I say that and put it up on Instagram and all the comments. Well, you libtard, you left. Right. I'm voting for the guy.
Right.
I'm telling you, I'm just my opinion. You can't have an opinion without the other side of me.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even know if it's real. I mean, the bots, there's so much out there. I saw a thing, I read a thing that was probably written by a bot, but written by AI, that said most of the people you're arguing with in the comment sections are not real people.
Oh, that's insane to think about.
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, it's funny because what I'll do when people just hate me to hate me, I just mute them and then they argue with nobody. So
how hard is that? How much do you have to hate you to hate you? You're like,
I've had plenty. I mean, there's always something. There's
like
always
hate, they don't like your act or they don't like.
They think I'm going one side or the other.
Okay.
I mean, I've had a ton of people like, you never do Biden. I'm like, I do plenty of Biden.
Yeah.
But whole joke with Biden, I wander around in my act off stage three or four times
as Biden,
as Biden, and the whole joke is the initial joke is he's the only guy I've ever seen who listens with his eyes. Mm-hmm. And then he just, that eye look is,
folks, when I was a young man, I grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. 500 AD was the father of the Roman Empire. Come on. What are we doing with the guy? Folks, I don't have to tell you.
You do have to tell us. Yeah. You're the president. Not anymore. Really, no, you're still the president.
Well, I should have been. Not your turn. Well, that's up for debate.
Going back and forth with those.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested to see this weekend, too, about how people take the Biden stuff. Because now that he's not running, but he's still president. So I'm right. Like, if he's still president, I can pretty much say whatever I want because
he's the
and they're
target.
Saying he's fit for that. You can't say he's too old and you're being mean. No, he's the leader of the free world
right,
still.
Right.
So if he'd have stepped down, I would have been more worried about it. But at the same time, it's kind of like, it's all silly anyways. I'm not like trying to teach anybody anything.
So I'm with you. I'm kind of just trying to ingest it all and figure out what's going on. And then I got Spanish over here throwing conspiracy theories at me at every corner. And
I'm starting to believe almost all of them.
I mean, I'm glad he's not in the room.
Have you
right
seen
now.
Tall Biden? Tall Biden is walking through the woods. Tall Biden. He's 6 foot six suddenly out of nowhere. And he's walking through the woods like Sasquatch. And the Sasquatch. Sasquatchian Biden. Biden. Joe Biden.
Isn't he the most entertaining guy that we've had in our lifetime?
Trump. Oh, yeah. I think I can't tell if he's doing it on purpose or not, though. I don't know if he knows. Like when you walk around your house doing your morning show or doing your show and your wife driving you crazy because you can't stop doing it.
Right.
He can't stop being Trump.
No, I don't think so.
It's like
think,
a car salesman who tries to, can you pass me the butter? Let me talk to my boss. No, you can actually just interact as a regular person. I don't think Trump can stop it.
We have a long relationship with Don Jr. He's been coming on the show since before Trump was president. And I asked him one day, I go, do you ever, like, during his presidency, I said, do you ever want to turn to your father and go, hey, don't send that tweet or don't do that, because it's like 1 ounce away from being really good. It's those stupid little things. And he goes, you have never tried to talk to my father. Right. And I thought, because he's that way 24 hours a day.
He can't stop. I did a sketch with him. Probably 10, 15 years ago at Fox, NFL sketch. And we're at Trump Tower. I'm dressed as Trump.
Mini Trump. I should call him Mini Trump.
I didn't know what I was going to, I was doing, yeah, I didn't know what he was going to be like.
He wasn't president.
No, this he was going to, and one of the jokes was, I've decided to run for president. And I've decided to not run for president. I've decided to not run for president. And I've decided to not run for president. I don't know how many knots I'm tying now, but I'm in the middle of these knots. And so we're about to do the sketch. He goes, I've got a pink tie. Do you want a pink tie? You should have a pink tie. You got a blue tie. The pink tie. Somebody get him a tie.
Really?
So they went and they got a tie. And then he said, that's much better. So we're doing the sketch. It stops down. I talk about this in my act sometimes. And it stops down. And he goes, was that good? Was that good? Does that seem good? Everybody's like, yes, Mr. Trump. Fantastic, Mr. Trump. I said, wait, does anybody ever tell you something isn't good? He goes, no, Frank, and that's part of the problem. I can't get real answers. So I was like, whoa, then you should run for president. No, we're doing the sketch, and Ivanka, which one's the daughter?
The daughter's Ivanka.
Ivanka?
Si.
Spanish? Si. She walks through. She just gives us, she looks, she's me dressed as the Donald, sees right. him dressed as Donald, and she just shakes her head. Oh, not this again. Why is he doing this? It was, the height of The Apprentice, I think, and stuff like that. So then he goes, do you have a minute? I'm like, sure. He goes, come with me. And it was like, Willy Wonka, come with me. So he takes me in the Trump Evader, and we go down, and he starts giving me stuff from a kiosk. He's like, you like ties? Here's more ties. Here's more ties.
Really?
And he's like,
because he had the line of ties.
Yeah. He's like, do you wear cufflinks? I'm like, not yet, but you're giving away free stuff. I'll take whatever. Then he gives me a watch, and I've heard Charlie Sheen say the same kind of story. He gave me a watch, but he pulls the price tag off of the watch as he hands it to
really?
Me. And I'm thinking, it looks like this diamond watch and all, but it's in a kiosk in Trump Tower. I don't know.
Like a cruise ship watch.
But he sent me off into New York, in the streets of New York, with what I think might be this really expensive watch. So I think that was him kind of getting back at me and just having fun. But he's like, keep doing what you're doing. It's very good. Because I don't come at him to be mean. But I remember saying to him, that stuff you said when I first met him, because he catches you off guard because he's not the same guy you see on TV. At least he wasn't at the time.
A lot taller than you expect.
Taller, more of a pear shaped guy.
Yeah.
And when you talk to him, he was quieter and he wasn't the shouting Trump.
Yeah.
So he's like, I said, that thing you said about, and it was China or something like that. He's like, don't listen to that. I'm just talking. I was like, really? When he said that to me, I was like, oh my gosh. I goes, and I was like, that's how the guy negotiates. You see the guy on TV and then you get in a room with the guy. He's a different guy.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're like, oh, this is a bait and switch here. Now you think you're going into a room talking to somebody completely different.
It was opposite for me. I got the same guy.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So my buddy Pete goes, we're at a WWE Hall of Fame, and we're in like the super VIP. I'm wearing a suit, you know, and Pete goes to take a leak, and he texts me, and he goes, you got to come back here. Trump's back here. And this is before the presidency. And I was like, I don't know. All right. Yeah, I kind of want to meet Trump, you know. So I walk back there, and he's just standing there. Ivanka's there, too. And I said, Mr. Trump, he goes, yeah. I go, can we take a picture together? He goes, all right, make it quick. he gave me make it quick. Let's go. And I was like, all right. He was very much, to me, the guy that I see on TV. But I get
what he was quieter,
saying.
Wasn't he?
He very quiet.
But that's what I'm saying, is he wasn't that.
He was
voice. He's come back down to this quiet. I say the same tough things, but I'm saying them quieter. Saying them different. It's difficult for you to hear.
Jimmy Kimmel was on Fox NFL, and I enjoyed it. You were on Fox NFL, and I enjoyed it, and it has just steadily declined. Like, I'm to the point now where every Sunday I tweet, just leave the comedy out of Fox. Riggle is the worst.
Well, Rob's been gone for a couple of years
now. I know, but he was the last.
But I think some younger people really liked him. I mean, and probably other people. I know it's funny because when Kimmel did it, there was really no social media.
Yeah.
There weren't any specific podcasts. There wasn't a way to get the Mike Calta Show out around the country to anybody who might be a fan who could listen anytime they want.
Right.
Now there are specific sports podcasts doing all the jokes. The internet, Twitter, the memes, all the jokes have been done.
Yeah.
By the time you get to Sunday, you pretty much have to shoot those things on Thursday.
Right.
It's old. That was the problem we had at Mad TV against Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live was always going to be better and more up to the minute. They could change the script that day.
Yeah.
We had to shoot 2 weeks in advance, essentially.
Ooh. Well, I will say there was a good portion of Mad TV's time up again that was way funnier than Saturday Night Live.
Because it was edited and you could put it together. I mean, you could. It's hard to be one take on TV live. And things might have changed that day. That's a hard show to do. That's why so many groundlings are great at it, because they're just used to being on their feet. Not as many stand-ups over the years.
I don't know that I could. To me, it was always a dream to do something like Saturday Night Live. Not that I had any chance of doing that. It just that seemed like the dream job of doing it. But then the more people I talked to that worked there and did that, I don't know if I could deal with all that stress.
I don't think I could have.
No.
I'm not a cutthroat kind of person. I think you have to be there, even if you're a good person.
Just to stand out among everybody else.
Just to fight.
Yeah.
You just have to be a fighter and constant. I back down a lot in my life.
I'm sure. You get to a certain point where you realize what's important and you just have to worry about what's important.
Well, listen, if I had a show like you have.
Yeah.
And I had people around me that did the social media stuff. Not that you don't see it or sign off on stuff or comment or whatever. But if I had people just doing that and putting it up, which I have a person starting to work on that kind of stuff, it's different than me putting my own stuff up all the time. I just feel like I'm chasing.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to chase. Like so many people. And when you're young and you haven't done anything, you want to chase. I used to wear a Mad TV shirt to every interview I did.
Right.
I was a different person. I was a grinder getting out there.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, well, if it comes, and agents get so mad at me, they're like, why don't you do it? Because I'd rather just act and do little small parts and audition for stuff I'll never get.
Yeah. What have you done recently that I may or not remember that I saw?
I mean, I haven't done that much.
Yeah.
I mean, no, yeah. I've been trying to do more of the acting thing, which I think I'm getting better at.
Right. That is something. Like the other day, I picked up those drumsticks and I said to Galvin, I will never be able to play drums. I just can't. I don't have the coordination. I'm a terrible actor, I believe.
I bet you if you played the right thing.
That's probably true. It's probably easier for me to do something more Yeah, I get that, but I'm like, even when I do, every once in a while I'll do an audition on tape or something, and I go, I don't even want to send this. This is all. I just never feel it.
I can't rely on my own opinion of myself on that. So I send it off to the agents and stuff. I go, I used to say, if you think it's good enough, send it in. And they're like, stop saying that. It's good. It's pretty good. I was like, okay, then other people must be awful. Stop doing that. I'm like, no, I just didn't know. But now I'm starting to feel like I watch some of the stuff I do, and I'm like, okay, it feels like it should be. I used to get these auditions for big movies when I first went to LA, and because I was the new thing, and I would get these auditions. I had no idea what I was doing. I'd look directly into the camera, and I thought acting was doing that. And I would hold on to words like nobody does in the real world. And nobody told me, because they don't teach you. They just assume, you know. I'm like, I did stand up. I'd never done a sketch show. I'd never done a sketch until I was on TV doing sketch TV. Preparation is a huge thing, and that's why they like, you know, if you're an actor who's done the stage, that's why a lot of these stars are, when people get these giant roles, are stage actors, because they've been tested have done it their entire lives.
Do you know Brian Scalero? He's a comic. He's done a lot of...
I know of,
So I know him a little bit, and he's like, I'm one of the comics that could actually act, and then he's been like on Mad Men and stuff, and there is a bunch of things for those sort of guys to do, but you have to really want to be that actor. I mean,
it's a lot of work, and the memorizing stuff, like, that's the hardest thing for me, memorizing 5 to 7 pages of dialogue.
I can't
for something that is probably never going to pay off.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing for me. If I felt like I got a chance for this to pay, like if I really felt I had a chance to get this part, or if there was a legitimate chance to get the part, I would have no problem putting the work in.
Yeah.
But when you put 3 days of just walking around, talking to myself in the lines, maybe writing them down, writing the first letter of each word down, doing all these different mnemonic devices, it drives me crazy, because my memory stinks as it is.
I was watching that, I was rewatching that show, The Offer, where it's about the making of The Godfather.
Oh, right.
And they showed
I think I auditioned for that.
Didn't shut up.
Yeah, no.
Real?
Yeah, no. Who's...
Miles Teller was the... The main character, played Hal Ruddy.
I wasn't getting that right.
No. I'm just saying. But do you remember what it was for?
It was an Italian guy. if you pull up the cast, the names, it's one of the famous guys in that. It was a big role.
Joe Colombo?
Yeah.
Oh, for a mobster.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, well, that was it.
It was Ribisi, wasn't it? Giovanni Ribisi got
that. Oh, yeah.
No chance.
Funny thing is, I kind of did it with almost a... I was like, I don't know what to... I wasn't finding something for it. So I was looking for some type of like actor to pull off of for that. I think I was pulling off of Leonardo DiCaprio for it.
Really?
Because I always go to like Wolf of Wall Street when I'm thinking like, you know, 5 years ago when I first started Stratton Oakmont. So I was doing that kind of thing, which was totally wrong for the part. I was getting through it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, at least it's watchable.
Joe Colombo's a real guy. So
yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. But you don't always
want to be that guy.
I went up and looked up Colombo, because I didn't realize he was a real guy until I watched. I looked at him like, oh, I'm doing this wrong. So I did.
After I watched it, I had to go to my father and have him explain all this stuff to me, because I was a kid when I was just born when that came out. But my father had been there for all of that and the shootings at the rallies and all this stuff. It's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah. I mean, I got Italian family in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's amazing, because my wife always says tells me I'm watered down, which is 100% true.
Water your
Arizona.
She's like,
you were so watered. Well, I grew up in Wisconsin, Waukesha, Wisconsin, outside of Milwaukee. But my family, you would go into the house, you go downstairs into the kitchen. For some reason, the kitchen's downstairs, smoke filled everywhere. They're cooking, it's playing cards. It looked like the dogs playing cards.
Right.
Everybody had the same neck as the dogs.
It's funny, because we had the downstairs kitchen. Then we had an upstairs kitchen, but we had a downstairs kitchen.
Yeah, there's just
kitchen
a downstairs kitchen.
That's so weird.
And that's where Thanksgiving would be and all sorts of stuff. Everything would be downstairs. There was a den.
That's dead, though. Nobody does it anymore. Even the Italians.
Oh, really?
No, when's the last time you saw a whole family playing cards?
Well, I'm not
like
allowed
that
to talk about mine. There's certen things we're not allowed to say.
I understand. Frank Caliendo is here, and he is going to be at Sidesplitters Friday, 7:30 and 9:30, Saturday, 7 and 9:30, And I'm glad you came in early. I get to see you.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
I need to know this. Who are the other shows that you like in the country? I want to know who's left.
Holmberg is great in Phoenix. Rover in
Rover is in Cleveland,
and he's been a great friend too. But there, I'm trying to think who else is still. I'm going to be missing somebody, and people are going
to
be mad.
Oh no, I just am always curious to see because obviously we know Rover and. There was Elliot in D.C. was another big one.
Used to do Elliot. I did Elliot. He was great.
I don't even know
I started
that
doing the
anymore.
Sports show there, the Junkies. They're great. They're fantastic. Yeah. See, I'm already missing people.
The Junkies were, I used to be on a sports station here where the Junkies, they ran overnight. Like, they just reran their show. And I'd catch it coming home from gigs and stuff every once in a while. And I was like, these guys are great. Like, yeah. I don't know how this is.
Because they're friends. Steal everything. They're just friends.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, one guy's like a lawyer. One guy went to law school. Like, they're just a bunch of guys who also happen to do a radio
and hang
show.
Out and they have full histories together.
I think they were a podcast before podcasts were cool.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, but when you have sports, and I'm not yet, sports is a great, it's a great through line for everything because you always have brand new news.
I think it's
harder to do a show like this, which encompasses everything. I think sports gives you specific stories, and then you can stray from it.
That's true. And those guys would do, they would do sports, but then they would also do wrestling, and then they would go and they do funny interviews with people. I think they're
who
one
do
of
you
the
like?
Shows.
Who do you? Who
nobody.
Do you,
I don't even listen to Joe Rogan. I'll take small clips of things on the internet.
Yeah, that's why
the guys that I loved, like I love Ron Bennington because from SiriusXM because Ron and Ron used to be the big show that was here that I grew up listening to.
Right.
I can't listen to Howard anymore. I don't even recognize that show from what it used to be. But I loved Howard. I loved the guy named Neil Rogers. He used to be out of Miami, who since passed away. But as far as throughout the country, I just hear like when Bert will come in or guys that we really like and they're still doing radio. And I'm like, who is left there? And I get the same thing. I get Rover. I get Todd and Tyler.
Todd and Tyler, great.
You know, there's just the same handful of shows.
The people you can go in and just talk.
Yeah.
And then you can do your stuff. You know, I throw in a voice here and there, but you'll talk to me as a human being. What I would always call ladio, like radio for ladies, where you go in, they've got 30-second snippets that you can do. That was always a little
Frank
more
Caliendo's here. He's going to be at Science Brothers on Friday. Frank, tell us what John Madowitz said about you.
Hey, I'm dead. Oh, he passed away? Is that recent? Okay, you did the research.
And he's basketball?
I'm sure there are a few more, but that was...
Yeah, I was just curious.
It's the people I can come in and sit down and hang out with.
Yeah.
Like, how many shows are allowed to do what we just did?
How long do you think we've been talking?
I mean, it feels like 20 minutes. I'm going to say closer to 45.
50.
50.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you don't pay attention to it and you just effortless.
But isn't that what you would want?
100%.
As a listener, as a person running a show, like people don't even know how much time has passed unless they hate me and I'm going to get them. But is he still doing John Madden? Ooh.
There's also not with you necessarily because we know each other, but there's a certain time that you need to break somebody down, like to make you feel comfortable here before the good stuff starts flowing out. You know what I mean? And it takes some time.
Yeah. I mean, I just think you're allowed to do radio differently than 99%. It's the people who earn it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, it sounds like a ass kissing right here.
But it's
a reality. People who've earned it can get, and it's hard to even do that anymore because there's so many consultants. Then every once in a while there's a good consultant. I believe there are some, but a lot of
haven't met him.
There are so many consultants have the opposite idea of what's going to work. We need to do 5-minute segments and you need to hit
and then do it
traffic.
Every day. You got a good bit, do it every day.
Right.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't listen, we started off, the best advice I can give somebody is to do what you want to do, because we started off having to play 8 songs an hour. And now we play no music, and we're number one, and we know what's good. Just go with what you know is good. And sometimes you have to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to get yelled at after the show.
Yeah. That's and then you use it as content for the show.
Right.
Getting yelled at is always a good thing.
Sure.
It's a piece of it.
People always want to rebel against their boss. So
yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, Frank, great to see you.
Great to see
you. I enjoyed this 51 and a half minutes that we had together. Frank Caliendo is a great comedian who also does great voices, so go see him 7:30 and 9:30 on Friday, 7 and 9:30 on Saturday. It's at Sidesplitters. You can go to sidesplitterscomedy.com, buy your tickets online, pick your seats, and do the whole deal, or 813-960-1197. Great to see you, buddy.
Yeah, great
Thank
to be
you.
Here. Thanks
you
for
look
having
nice,
me.
By the way.
I feel nice. I feel real nice.
We'll take a quick break.
Very nice. Tremendously nice.
We got Cody Tucker and we got Martine Gramatica still coming up. It's the Mike Calta Show. This is 102.5 The Bone.
You're listening to the Mike Calta Show. Now, a bone traffic update from the Farrah and Farrah Personal Injury Attorneys.